Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to talk about your human design, all of our human designs. We're designed humanly, and there's a system called the Human Design System that is remarkable in helping us understand this design that we've been born into. And we're fully living it. All of us are living our human design, even if we haven't heard of the system before. And to help us learn more about the system is a guest I've had on the show before talking about the human design system with us is Regina Concatelli. Regina, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we can talk again about this remarkable system. You and I are both human design analysts and teachers, and we absolutely love it, and it's actually changed our lives, and really changes the lives of almost everybody who comes into contact with it, because it creates such a profound understanding about ourselves.
That was the word I put at the top of my page: life changing. And it reminded me of, you know, so many people that have come to me and the stories they tell me afterwards of just experimenting or testing out just a little bit of their design. So life-changing is our word for today, I think.
Right. You know what I'm going to do, Regina? I'm going to stop the show right now. Hopefully Giselle is hearing, because your phone is so off right now. Your cell phone is probably can do a better job than this phone.
Okay.
It's really hard to hear you.
Okay. All right. Let's try my cell phone. Here, I have another phone. Let me try this other phone.
We'll start the phone again. This show again in a couple of minutes.
Okay. I'll call you back on another line.
Oh, call. Yeah, call the station back.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to talk about the human design world today and how amazing it is that we're all living in a unique design, a unique human design that we were born into. And there's a human design system that exists that helps us understand this wonderful technology, let's call it. And to help us understand it, we have a guest on the show who's also a human design analyst, as I am. And the two of us love it so much that we love to talk about it, and are so happy to talk to you about it. So, Regina Concatelli, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter, for inviting me to talk about one of my favorite topics, human design.
Sure, and it becomes a favorite topic of almost everybody who's had their human design charts read, because it's life-changing. It helps us, I guess you could say, believe in ourselves better, because it really understands us to the T. It's amazing how precise and elaborate it is in detail in exactly who we are versus anyone else on the planet. And so people are always shocked. They, what kind of responses do you get when you start giving people their chart readings and they just can't believe how well it knows them?
Someone called me back this week. I did a recording for someone in her life, and she called me back and she said, "Oh my God, you just so perfectly described my friend. This is her. This is exactly what I see in her. This is amazing." I mean, I hear that all the time: accurate, amazing, It's like you followed me around. You've been following me around in my life. So.
Well, it also helps young people who are getting started in life to define themselves in ways that are true to them versus the ways that they've been conditioned by their families and school and expectations for them. And they know themselves, but they don't understand why the fit doesn't always seem right. Once they hear their human design reading, they get it about themselves, and they can make decisions for themselves based on who they are truly here to be.
Yeah, I think it also, everybody's different. And it's when children or, even young adults, it's like we want to fit in. We want to be like other people. And when we don't, some people default to, well, there's something wrong with me, versus someone that would have this information about themselves that they can appreciate themselves. It validates them, with the accuracy. And it connects, when they hear the information, it connects with them on a certain level that not only believe in themselves, it cultivates confidence.
Sure, and it helps people understand by the uniqueness of their designs that they're allowed to be unique. They have traits that don't always fit in, and yet they're perfect for their life and who they're here to be, and they just have to learn to work with them better in society and understand why these unique traits are different for them versus anyone else. And so there are so many times, especially in my life, where people just look at me strange and they say, you're not normal, are you? You're different. And I've always been different, but my human design is different. And I'm so glad I know it, because it allows me to be me and to adjust for it and to explain myself to people, and people can understand me better when I help them understand that, I don't think in the mainstream, and I have unique abilities, and those are all in my design.
Well, and then it cultivates, first it cultivates a greater relationship with ourselves, I believe, in understanding our human design, and then it cultivates more harmony and satisfaction in relationship to others when even just a little bit of this language is explained, as you were saying, explaining yourself, or, not defending, but explaining, yes, this is true about me, or this is not true
and
for me.
Also, there are people who are designed to be masters of society, to really fit in perfectly and be attractive to others and be strong personalities and have opportunities in life that some of us others don't have. That, we're designed to work more individually with unique skills, versus there are people who really have skills that fit well with others and work well in teams and are here really to be successes in the bigger world.
True, yes, yeah. Groups. Some people are designed for groups and some people are not. And, human design, we talked about younger people, but also entering the workforce, using human design to match you up, kind of give you direction on what kind of careers might work best for someone. So it's, what's interesting about human design is that there's so many layers of it, so many ways that we can use it, and it's practical. And someone doesn't have to understand the whole system to be able to benefit from it.
Right.
There's a lot of basic terminology. There's a lot of keynoting that can really help people understand who they are without having to dive into the whole system.
Right. Some people are happy just knowing that they're either generators or manifestors or projectors. And among those three is most of the population. And know how we differentiate. I'm a generator, for instance. And my wife is a projector. And so we think in different ways that those types think. And because we know that about each other, it really helps us understand why we behave the way we do. And that's just a generality of human design. And we should talk about some of those keynotes and help people understand what we're referring to, such as manifestors, which are only 9.5% of the population, or 8.5% of the population, and projectors are 21% of the population. And those are different from us generators, who, between generators and manifesting generators, we represent 70% of the population. So we're the slaves, us generators. we're run by our motors.
We're the worker bees, you know, point us in the right direction and give us something to do. I'm a generator as well, so it's like we're the worker bees, the ones that get things done and build on things and develop things.
Right.
And use all that great, pure life force energy that's just a motor that's running all the time.
Yes, and those projectors, they're not run by their motors. Some of them have no motors. Some of them have, my wife has one motor, and it sure keeps her going. But there are projectors I've worked with who really need the motors of others to motivate them.
Yeah, that's their role. I mean, I think projectors, we talked in the beginning about people, how do they, are that they're affected by hearing, about their design. I think projectors, you can just, feel that in them when you deliver that information to a client about being a projector, that you're here to guide and direct. You're not a worker bee. You're not like everybody else. It's like, oh my gosh, that explains so much for me.
Right. So, and for many, it's a relief because they've felt guilty that everybody else wants them to run their motor and they don't have one. And they say, well, why can't I just do all that hard, busy work that everyone else loves to do? And I just don't seem to have the interest in that.
Yeah, or no wonder I'm exhausted. No wonder this job isn't working for me. I'm trying to fit in. I'm trying to be like, everybody else that's so busy all the time and working. So, yeah, projectors, can really use this information to, utilizing energy that they do have in a way that really brings them success.
Right, and projectors are very bright people, but they're just not slaves like us. So it's interesting to just give people their types and help them run with that. And then there's also profile, for instance.
Well, we should mention the manifestor because that's the other 8 to 9%. And again, when they get explained to them that they're here to lead and impact others and get things started and, get other people into action and not be doing everything themselves, again, a huge relief comes over them because they have this great power to get things started and manifest. But nobody told them that they don't have to keep carrying the load by themselves.
Right. They're here to have impact.
Yes,
think
impact
that way.
And inviting others.
Yeah. Yeah, and so manifestors are unique people in this life, and they expect a lot from themselves. And,
yeah.
And
so, they do have a huge impact. You can feel it when they, just being around their energy, that when they speak about something, you can feel that resonance in their voice, and the clearer they are and the more centered they are and the more they know themselves, the more impact they can have and the more people they can impact. It's quite a powerful design, and there are people that are, very visible, in the world because they just are able to make more things happen all on their own.
Right, but they need the perspective of how a manifestor operates, because a lot of times they don't explain enough to others. They don't inform people enough about what they're excited about. They tell a lot. They don't ask much. They tell a lot. And so sometimes they lose people in their excitement because people aren't clear enough about what they want, so or how they want it. And
yeah.
So they have to learn how to explain themselves better, and they're not always as good at that, but they can certainly learn to do that better.
Well, what human design gives, each of these types gives them a strategy, and that strategy for the manifestor is inform before you act.
Right.
And what they find out, you know, very quickly what happens when they don't inform. You know,
right.
they bump into a lot of resistance.
Right. I like to use the word explain along with inform because they certainly don't, they're not askers. They're tellers, but we want them to tell more.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they come into that knowing that, you know, how to explain and how to inform.
Right.
So that they can, you know, they'll have more peace. They'll be, you know, much more content because they'll be getting people will help them instead of get in their way.
Right. Exactly. So there are so many different aspects of human design, and there are many unique traits that are very special for individuals. Every chart has many traits to tell people about that are unique for them, and we're talking about generalities here. The types are a generality. There's something called profile that's a generality, and then there's authority that's a generality, and there are others. So it's important that people can see that human design works on so many different levels of who we are, because these generalities we can find others who we can agree with. For instance, in our profile, there are six numbers based on the Chinese I Ching. Of hexagrams, which have six lines in them, and there are 64 hexagrams, and the human design system is very much based on the 64 hexagrams of the Chinese I Ching. And so the concept of six lines is very meaningful in human design, and there are many ways that each of the numbers of those six lines are used. And in my profile, I'm a one. I'm a first line. And is your profile a one?
I'm a 6-2 profile.
You're 6-2. Okay, I'm a 4-1. But the one, we can start with a one. Ones are very insecure. We don't think we know enough. We are investigators. We're always trying to find out what we don't know, and that's worrisome. A lot of people who aren't ones can't identify with how much us ones are worried about what we don't know, and how much we have to investigate. My wife isn't a one, and she says, "Oh, you don't have to worry about that. It'll work itself out. Whatever." And I go, "No, I have to investigate because that's the way my mind works."
You need a firm foundation to stand on.
Exactly. And so us ones, we can talk to each other. We mutually understand our concerns. And then you're a two.
Yeah, I'm a two. And the two is such a natural. They're a little bit clueless. They don't even know how they know things. So the first line, they want to get all the facts, and they've read all the books, and they've gotten all their classes. And the two will come in, and, you know, they'll take two piano lessons, and they can start playing the piano or, you know, crocheting or whatever it is. It's like they pick up things very naturally, and they're very natural with people. They like to be, you know, in a really relaxed, flowing way. And so when people confront them, or, well, how do you know that? How do you know that? You know, they get a little bit freaked out by that, because I don't know how I know. I just know it. So it's a real, really different than the first line in how they study things or do things. They pick it up very quickly and easily, and they get projected on and they a lot too, because people think that they know things that they may not know, or they're very they need the other person. They need another person to really interact with and to be able to see who they are through other people.
So that's a two. Twos are also called hermits.
And
that's because they're natural with themselves, and they don't mind being alone and enjoying. It doesn't mean they don't come out of their hermitage to help others, but they have more fun in this natural state of their own beingness.
Yeah, I kind of look at them as the absent-minded professor. You know, they're just happy in their own little world. But if you call them, out, they'll come and engage. And but they just like to be off on their own doing this, you know, their whatever their little creative projects are.
Right.
So, yeah, the hermit.
And then there's the three.
And then we have the martyr.
The three is the martyr. The three, neither of us are threes. My wife is a three. And they learn by what they bump into. That's why my wife doesn't understand my need to investigate. She says, well, we'll just bump into it and we'll learn from it and it'll be fine. We'll just figure it out when we get there. And so she doesn't worry enough. Not for me. So
well, they're the great experimenters, you know. They just have to try a lot of things. And here's where understanding your design can really make a difference, because people with third lines, as they do how they go about life and they bump into things and they bump into people and they have a lot of different experiences. They're gathering a lot of different experiences, and they're finding out what works and what doesn't work. And in our society, or by some people's belief system, it's like, well, trying all those things, well, can't you stay with anything? Somebody might say to them, or, oh my gosh, you just started that job 3 months ago and now you're leaving it again, or can't you stay in a relationship? And, you know, it's kind of put on them, projected on them by other people that there's something wrong with the change, but yet that's what they're to do. That's their way of life, is experimenting, trying lots of different things.
Right, and so us ones, we can't deal with that because we need to know too much. And then there's the four. I'm a four. And
mm-hmm.
Fours are opportunists. We're always trying to get the opportunity with others to have an have the opportunity to prove ourselves. I find that I need to. We'll get to fives next, because I always tell fives they're so lucky they're fives and they're not fours, because us fours are always needing the opportunity to feel like we're being recognized and that we are showing our goods. and people don't get it until we use the opportunity. They don't automatically think that we're capable of something, for instance, until we've taken the opportunity to show ourselves. So it's an interesting thing, because that energy of needing the opportunity is very strong in me. And I see that people who aren't fours aren't as hungry for it, because they're more comfortable with being recognized. And I always feel like I'm invisible, so I need to make myself visible by creating the opportunity. So
I notice with fours that, I mean, I can tell, you know, that there is a real driving force. Now, whether they're conscious of it or not, but that there's a real driving force to influence, to reach out to the other. And
but there's a need there. See, that's the point.
That,
you know, as a two, you don't have it, and threes don't need it. Fives, you know, threes will just experiment. Fives... are under pressure because people expect a lot from them.
Mm-hmm.
So fives even hide out. They're not that comfortable. I mean, they love to provide the information that they have, but a lot is expected of them to even have more than they think they know. And that's why fives are called heretics, because if they don't give people the information that people think they have, they get burned at the stake. And so there's a lot of pressure on fives to deliver. See, there's no pressure on me to deliver. Nobody has any expectations until I create the opportunity to show that maybe people should have an expectation. But with fives,
well,
they automatically
have it. The fours, my experience of them anyway is that they feel this drive, this need, like you said, to reach out, to bring something, to connect with people. And where fives, they get it projected on them, and that they're capable leaders, managers, the fixer, you've got a problem, you can fix it, a lot of that's projected on them, and I do see some of them that are very capable of fulfilling on the natural leadership and teacher qualities that they carry with
right.
them.
Right. They have the goods. It's just that sometimes there's more expected of them than they feel they can deliver. And so I always, when I do chart readings for fives, I always congratulate them and tell them how lucky they are, because I would love to be a five. I have to create the opportunity. It always comes to them. But
that's the
pressure.
Next lifetime, though, you get to be a five.
Yeah, maybe. And now yours.
I think fives are lucky too. I feel fives have great potential, and I congratulate them too. I think it's this huge potential.
Yeah,
and
great.
So as a sixth line, we're the role models, and so there's a different kind of pressure that's put on the sixth line. They, as a role model, they can be, very visible in life and connect with a lot of different people and have a lot of different networks of people, and they're here as an authority. So they sit at the top, and they have this ability to see things that nobody else can see. Not even the fives can see what the six can see.
Although there's a reason why the sixes are sixes, and that's because in their younger years, they got burned. They suffered. There was pain in their early life, and they've been on a wisdom path. And so they've reached this point of becoming a role model because they've needed to grow so much beyond their early years.
Yes. It's kind of like, you're old when you're young, and then you're young when you're old.
You've been burned a lot, and you're carrying all of this history that you're healing, and in doing so, you become very wise.
Yes, all these experiences that the sixth line has, there's three parts of their life. There's the first 30 years of all those chaotic things happening, and then there's the 30 to 50 around, so that segment of life where you're really trying to, figure out what the heck happened and how can I trust anyone, and wow, this is really intense. And then after 50, it's like when you've had a chance to assimilate and gather all that wisdom, it's like that's when, they really blossom and life really begins for the sixth line after the age of 50. And I happen to be over 50, so I've, had that experience and can totally align with that description.
So our listeners have everyone has two numbers. You're a 6'2", I'm a 4'1", my wife is a 3'5", my sons are 5'1s. And so we each have two of them to consider in our personalities. And it's really wonderful to know about this and help us understand ourselves just through these keynotes of profile, and then we talked about type, and that's just the beginning. because a chart reading can be more than 2 hours, and yet we can talk about profile and type in a few minutes with people, you know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes of a whole session. There's so much else going on in human design that is really exciting and amazingly insightful. So you're an analyst, as I am, and you do readings for people. You live out in California.
I have some groups, and I have lots of articles on my website. I have a YouTube channel, so if people want to find out what I've got going on, they can look at my website, which is alignwithyourdesign.com, alignwithyourdesign.com, or if they want to give me a call and have a chat with me, I'm at 619-787-8750.
Regina Concatelli, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew, and I'd love to talk with you about human design.
Thanks for the opportunity, Peter, to talk more about human design.
And this is Peter Ross, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much for listening.